I guess that's good. Amen. I want to greet you here today for tuning in. We've got some good things in store. Going to today talk about some things that kind of hit home, hopefully, with each of us in some way, shape, or form. We live in troubled times, and I think anybody would agree to that. So my message today is going to probably kind of attack our culture a little bit. It's not meant to be political, so nobody get bent out of shape. But I am going to touch some things that might stir up some emotions inside of us, and then we're going to deal with those emotions. What the Lord spoke into my heart this week is kind of two words. It was critical mass. Critical mass is what the name of the message is today. And to be honest, I really thought, when I said that, when he spoke that to me, I just felt it was kind of like, Scotty on Star Trek, you know what I'm saying? We're at critical mass, you know, the warp generator is going to go down, you know, and stuff like that. So I didn't know what it meant. I'll be honest, I didn't know what this really meant. So I looked up the word, and it really tied into really what the Lord's been laying on my heart. So we're going to look at that today. So critical mass is a term that's used by, you know, different branches of the scientific community. And today I'm going to look at it from the realm of quantitative scientists. I was close to that word. I had it really studied out. I don't use that word very much. But anyway, researchers have discovered that an opinion that is held strongly by 10% of the population would rapidly spread and become a majority opinion. And they have designated this 10% number is called critical mass. And then critical mass is when something has enough material to become self-sustaining. And we're going to look at that today, both in some negative and some positive aspects of really what's going on in our country. And it really opened my eyes to some degree, you know, when I looked that up. Now, granted, it's usually a lot of time you're used in the area of the scientific community, you know, where they're talking with probably nuclear stuff and things like that. But I really see what's going on in our culture, that we're almost a nuclear bomb ready to go off. And it has went off a little bit recently. Scripture I want to start with today, we're going to look at two different passages, one now, one a little bit later, is Matthew chapter 24, verse 10 to 14. And it says, "At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity you've given us to come to worship freely as we lifted our hands today and just sang from our hearts. We just thank you that we just cry out just for your presence, more of your presence in each of our lives. Lord, I thank you for the anointing to be able to break any yoke of bondage and slaughter any sacred cows, anything that's a stronghold in our mind that makes us think wrongly. Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I want to pray right now for words that pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Bind Satan from stealing the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to look at this a little bit. You know, this scripture here is talking about, of course, the end times. Could be talking about the time of tribulation. Some may say it's the first 3.5 years, but I really believe that, you know, what's going on in our culture today perhaps may be leading up to some of that stuff. If not, it's definitely something going on. There's something going on in our culture, and a lot of things have been coming to pass because the first point is the idea that we live in such divisive times. Divisive times. And I believe that's what the end times is talking about here, because in some sense, I'm not kicking the church to the curb or anything, but you know, primarily, if we looked at things in the natural, evil is thriving. There's a lot of evil thriving in our nation today. And it's being spread in through a lot of different ways, because the scripture says here, you know, that many will fall away and even betray one another. And see, that's the explosive times, the emotionally charged times, you know, that people are living in today, here in our nation especially. And we have a lot of things to deal with as Christians, because if we're born again, and we claim that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then we should have the ability, especially if you listen to the last 4 weeks of my teaching about how being led by the Spirit, and you can find those online if you didn't, you should be able to discern a little bit about what's going on so we don't get sucked up and just drawn into the vacuum of all the hate and all the things that's being spewed today. You know, the Barna Group did a survey, and I read this, it's pretty interesting. It found that 1% of the young adult population, has a biblical worldview. That's 1 out of 100 of the young people have a true biblical worldview. Now, some of them may believe bits and pieces, and to have a biblical worldview by the Barna Group is defined in the following way. Number one is that absolute moral truth exists. Well, that's a deal breaker for a lot of people. You know what I mean? The second is that the Bible is completely inerrant, meaning it has no mistakes in it. Number three, Satan is a real being, not symbolic. Next one is a person cannot earn his way into the kingdom of God through good works. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on earth. And that God is the supreme creator of the heavens and the earth and the regions over the whole and reigns over the whole universe today. Okay, so and that really fits in to biblical worldview right there. That's really what it means to be a Christian. There might be a little bit of variances in doctrines and different things like this, but this is kind of the basics. And the survey says 1%. 1%. So to me, we live in some dangerous times, and I know that we have a lot of good school teachers in our system here, but not all of the school teachers that's putting out information has a biblical worldview. See, the lies of evolution and a failure in biblical parenting has taken its toll upon the young people of our country today. Now, the reason why I say evolution, because to me, the idea of origin is very important, because only if you know where you come from can you figure out where you're going to. And that's why it's so important. And, you know, us Christians, you know, we've laid back and, you know, maybe not gotten involved in certain things in the nation, and it's caused us to lay our rights down. And then we have allowed other people to rise up and start influencing. You know, statistically, a lot of college or high school kids that graduate and go to college, many of them lose their faith because they're being taught by people who are anti-God, and they bring so much secular information bombarding their minds. And these poor little kids didn't pay attention in youth group and didn't prepare themselves to go out in this big, ugly world. And that's why it's such a dangerous time. We live in a desperate time right now. And to be honest, without a healthy fear of God, we are doomed. Because it's not being afraid of God, but it's a healthy reverence of God and His ways, of what it means to be able to honor a creator, the one who put us, the one who created the heavens and earth, and acknowledge Him that He is the supreme being in the universe, and that we need to fall in line and fall under His covering and be able to walk in His ways. But see, if we choose not to do those things, then it opens up all these different attitudes. Just like it says in the Old Testament, man was doing what was right in his own eyes. And every time they did that, they went off into captivity, and God had to raise up a deliverer to bring them back in line. We need a deliverer today. Are you that deliverer? Are we willing to use our voice to speak the truth in love? You know, not to try to start a fight on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? You know, that doesn't do anybody any good. But I mean, just trying to bring some truth. Because, you know, we as Christians, you know, have allowed the devil to control the narrative and let the lies that's being propagated reach critical mass in our institutions of learning. Remember, it only takes 10% to keep that thing going. There's enough stuff there to keep those lies going. And it's a tough situation. And you know, it's very difficult to unravel this and turn it around. If you really think about it, and like I say, I thank God we have some good Christian teachers, you know, in our school system here, and some of them attend our church. But many children spend 30 hours a week setting under a teaching that is opposed to biblical truths. I mean, not all they teach. Now, I know algebra, I think, is against biblical truths myself. I didn't like algebra, but, you know, that's just me. Amen? You know, but, you know, some of that stuff being propagated, I'll tell you what, as a young kid, even back in the 70s, you know, it messed me up a little bit. Biology class, it rocked my faith. I didn't have a lot of depth. And it got me believing, you know, all these weird stuff about, well, maybe we did. Maybe there is evolution. I really never did believe I came from a monkey. You know, that really, I never bought into that. But, you know, I entertained the idea of people from other planets. You know, I got kind of, you know, I thought, well, maybe that happened. That's what they are. You know, because I didn't have a lot of truth. And but fortunately, you know, I hung in there and God straightened me out. You know, and then not to mention the 30 hours of teaching. Well, then guess what happens? They go home, and then they might have 30 more hours of TV that supports the same thing that they're learning at school. You know, my wife and I always didn't like this, but we used to watch some sitcoms, and a lot of those sitcoms, you know, they would come on, and they would make the parents out to be idiots, and the kid who was about 12 years old would be the genius and straighten out everything and, you know, steer the family. You know, and see, that undermines the authority of parents, because authority is important in our life. We live in a time where people don't want to submit to authority. You know, I know some authority is bad, but you have to have authority in your life. If not, we get into trouble. Now, here's where the Christians messed up. You know, back in the day when television came out, a lot of Christians said, well, that's a devil box. You know, so they stayed out of it. So then they let the devil people take over. Now, fortunately, recently, Brother Billy Graham and a lot of different ones, it's opened up some doors where, you know, Christians are using television and using different sorts of media to try to combat that message so that we can get the truth out there, because only truth and light will expose the lie and the darkness. You know, if not, we just kind of believe what comes our way. So we need to be careful about that, because, you know, I think today each of us would probably admit, you know, even though we didn't want to, that, you know, technology is shaping our culture today. It's shaping us. Remember, critical mass, it only takes 10% of the people to believe it. It'll self-feed itself, and then before you know, that thought or that theory will be out there. And that's why we got to be careful. That's why we need to take it back. You know, now I don't want to step on toes here, but it might. One lie that reaches critical mass is that, you know, when it turns into a stronghold in our mind, is the number 6. How many really think about the number 6 now all the time? 6 feet. To me, 6 feet is 6 feet when I'm under. You know what I'm saying? And I may get there one of these days. But everybody is concerned about the number 6. Wherever you go, you stay 6 foot apart. That's just the way it is. You'll be publicly shamed if you don't. Who came up with that number? An expert? Well, I've heard experts say a lot of different numbers. But for some reason, we as a culture has accepted the number 6 as our lie. And it became a stronghold in our mind. So now we're so concerned about the number 6 foot all the time. You know, I believe in being safe, but, you know, why not the number 5? Why not the number 7? That's a perfect number. You know, 6 is kind of the number of the devil, 666. No, I'm just being funny here. If you guys are watching on Facebook, I'm just messing around. But, you know, it's very important that we steer clear and think clearly what's out there. Don't be taken in by the 10%. It's kind of like a snowball effect. It gets in there and it drags us down the wrong way. And what happens then, you know, we have so much hate, you know, in our culture today. You know, even though we're born with a sin nature, I believe that hate is something that we develop ourselves. I believe we develop that hate ourselves just because, you know, somebody's different than us in whatever way, shape, or form. You know, we hate somebody because either their political beliefs or the color of their skin. And then when we do that, I believe we become the problem. And it doesn't matter what your political, whether you're Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or whether you're white or black or whatever you are. There's racism, there's political hate on all sides. But we as Christians can't get into that. We're not supposed to hate. We're not supposed to hate. We're supposed to love. And see, that's what we need to make sure that we get ourselves back into, because it's so easy to get sucked into the cultural norm. Everybody wants to fit in and be with the crowd. And what happens then is many false prophets, they're going to mislead people. You know, we live in a day that all you need is a phone to spread any message you want in this world. All you need is a cell phone. You can take a picture and promote any kind of idea or anything that you want, and then it's out there, and it can lead many people astray. You know, self-proclaimed experts are trying to lead the masses like a Pied Piper. Now, some of you may not remember the old Pied Piper story, but the Pied Piper was hired to lead the mice away, wasn't he, or something like that. I don't remember. I haven't read that in myself in a long time. But, you know, that's what we are. We're like a bunch of lemmings going over a cliff because we don't think for ourselves. We have to make sure that we have a biblical worldview, that we take everything in context to what God says in His world, in His Word, and then we apply that in the world. And only if we do that are we going to be able to stay free. Now, to me, now this is where I'm going to start stepping on a few more toes. The news media is the false prophets. I don't care what channel it is, they're the false prophets. They tell us what to think, and they tell us what to believe. They pick the stories they put on there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening in this big world. You know, I like a show that kind of covers them all. I like to think for myself. I don't like 2 or 3 hours of the same thing. You know what I mean? Trying to tell me what I should be thinking about a situation. I'm old enough to know how to figure it out on my own. But see, what happens with that is that we give them so much power, they control our mind. Remember, critical mass is when 10% believe, and then it starts to, like a snowball effect, and it takes over the majority. Just like, you know, different people are protesting in different ways now, and that's fine. You know, it's a part of our culture. You know, but, you know, when the people were protesting in Michigan because they wanted to open their businesses, they shamed them because of COVID-19. But now that people are protesting about the man who was killed, no talk about that. That's not fair. That's not right. That's not balanced teaching, you know. Now, I'll be honest, I don't care about the 6-foot rule anyway, but I'm just saying, you know, it has to be fair, and we as Christians need to see through that. Amen. We need to see through those lies. If we not, we're going to be misled. And what happens then is that we live in a culture, it's going to get better, it's going to get funner in a minute. I'm going to show the answer here in a moment. I know, I'm feeling depressed myself. You know, but what happens then is lawlessness is increased. Lawlessness. And this word here, because the reason why this word here bugs me is because the devil is lawless. He's lawless. He would not submit to the Creator who has ultimate authority, and he rebelled against God, thinking he was equal to God. And that made him fall. But see, the devil tries to come in and spread this hate and this lawlessness. You know, and it's just crazy. Now, I saw something on the news the other day. I saw a newscaster saying that when people were rioting and tearing up other people's buildings and property, that it's okay because they had insurance. That's not fair. Who pays for insurance? The rates go up. I mean, nobody should ever destroy anybody's property for any reason at all. Nobody should ever kill somebody just because they want to, because of hatred. As Christians, we need to stay clear of them attitudes. Amen. You know, we need to be the light, not the problem. You know, love's going to grow cold. Maybe that's part of our problem. To me, in our culture, lust is alive and well. But Bible love is hard to find. We need to find that Bible love, that agape love, that loves no matter what. It doesn't matter. I just choose to love you because God has put His love inside of me. I don't care that you believe different from me. I don't care that you look different from me. But I choose to love you because that's what God commands me to do. And we need to do that. Amen. We need to be a part of that. You know, now here where it gets a little bit better, if we endure to the end. Endurance is important. We need to endure to the end. See, when trials test us, that's when we find the depth of our faith. And I believe that a lot of us, if we allow ourselves to look inside, not look at other people, when we go through these trials and through these problems in life, we're going to be able to see the depth of our faith and places that we need to shore up. You know, during a trial, we'll either progress or regress. We will never stay the same. Everything that comes our way, everything that is put in our path that is going to cause us to try to stumble or to cause us to overcome, we're never going to be the same. And that's why we need to make sure that we're progressing always in the things of God. Remember that critical mass is something that has enough material to self-sustain itself. And with Twitter and with Facebook and all these other, Instagram, all these other things, you know, it just self-promotes itself. And that's why we need to make sure we don't get caught up in that and really check the power and the truth of that story. So because the power of persuasion, we've all been persuaded. I'm an influencer, even since I was a kid. You know, I remember one time, I don't want to tell that story, it's about when I was a heathen. It wasn't real bad, but I'll tell it. You know, back in the day, you know, I used to drink, you know, and there was a party down in, where Hannah's at now? Kirksville. Yeah, somehow at the college down there. Anyway, there was a party, and I didn't go to college. I've been an electrician ever since I got out of school. But, you know, you went down there, and you couldn't take can or metal or can or bottle into this party. I think it was called the Armory Party. And so you had to bring your own liquor in. Well, I just dumped out some milk, a gallon of milk at home. I kid you not. And then I rinsed it because I didn't like that bad taste. But then I poured my Jack Daniels and water in this jug. And I was able to beat the system. You know, I carried that in there, and oh, we just had a good time. The next 2 or 3 weeks later, they had another party. Guess what? Everybody else had milk jugs. You know, I knew back then that I had the power to influence people, but I was using it for evil back then, you know. And, you know, so hopefully I'm glad God got me turned around, and I've tried to change, you know, my way of doing things. But, you know, that just, it just shows that we all can influence other people, and we need to make sure we're doing it, you know, for a good thing. You know, and so when we endure to the end, you know, we don't need to do it just partway or most of the way. We need to do it all of the way. And see, that's the benefit of enduring, is that we get salvation. Next, it tells us to be around in this passage. It says about the Lord's business. You know, it says we need to be preaching the gospel. You know, instead of hating everybody on Facebook and promoting violence and hate, you know, we need to be telling about the love of Jesus Christ and how there's salvation through Him. You know, I'll be honest, I've done this, and I think we all have. We run the risk of compromising our witness if we allow ourselves to get emotionally charged about current events. I've tried to stay clear for the most part. You know, I've tried to stay clear of that. I'm trying to keep my head on straight because I want to witness more, I want to influence more people for the gospel instead of my political views. I'm not saying I'm going to be politically silent because it is our right to be able to do that, but I'm trying to word my things in a proper way, in a better way. You know, it's hard. You know, I know somebody on Facebook that I know that they always put something anti-Christian about, you know, stuff. And, you know, I've known them for a long time, and it's all I can do not to respond. But I'm just staying back, just letting them have their way. They can say what they want, you know. It's all fine. I just don't want to get caught up in that anger and that hate. See, the difference between lawful and lawless endeavors and to implement change, we need to show the difference. So we need to make sure we don't get into that attitude, the spirit of the world. Now we're going to look at how we can do that. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And this is a very powerful passage. The book of James is kind of the book of wisdom. It's the Proverbs of the New Testament. And James really put out some good information, some very practical things that you and I can live every day. And I think that's where it's really important. It says in verse 19, it says, "This you know, my beloved brethren," this was written to Christians, "but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." I feel like praying again almost. I mean, that's such a good passage. But the point I want to look at here is the trifecta for healthy emotions, because that's really where we get in trouble. When we get them emotionally charged parts of our life where we either get so angry so quick. Here what it says is the fact that we need to learn how to process our emotions properly. We need to learn how to deal with those things because we all have emotions, don't we? How many have gotten angry in the last few weeks? Don't raise your hand. Okay, everybody raise your hand. Okay. It happens, doesn't it? We get angry. We maybe say things we didn't mean to, or maybe we meant it and we shouldn't say it. We've got to get that out of our head. But there's these emotions. So the first thing James told us to do by the power of the Holy Spirit is to be quick to listen. And I'll be honest, listening is very hard, right? The old saying, you got, you know, two ears and one mouth, which one should you be doing more? You know, it is true. We need to be quick to listen. You know, we should make it a goal to really hear what the other person's saying. Because for the most part, a lot of times what we do is that we have a tendency of thinking about our response or trying to say what we want to say. You know, like the politicians, when they get on TV, you ask them a question and they don't answer the question. What do? They go to their talking points. And see, that's what we do. We have our talking points, the things that we want to say that they should hear, but we don't want to hear what they have to say. See, I believe that in a heated, emotionally charged environment, the one who listens has the advantage. Because you can actually hear what they're saying, and you can figure out where they're coming from. And then maybe you can try to find some sort of reconciliation or common ground in what it is you're trying to discuss. You know, the old saying, faith comes by hearing. If we don't learn how to hear, how will our faith grow? That's a true statement right there. If we don't know how to hear, really hear what it says, you know, that's why in the Bible it talks about he who has ears, let him hear. We all have ears, but we all don't hear. And that's why it's important that we turn that around. Next, it says to be slow to speak or react. I mean, some people have a problem with quiet. You know what I'm saying? You know, how many have had to hold your mouth open so you can change feet? You know what I mean? You put one foot in your mouth, and that, you know, and then you have to open your mouth, and then you have to put the, you know, get the other foot in. I mean, sometimes we just say stuff. It's just the way it works sometimes. So we are usually slow to hear and quick to speak, and that's how we get mad. So that's why we need to turn that around. You know, we need to pause. I mean, it'd be nice if we had a little buffer all the time. You know, we need to train ourselves to pause before we respond. You know, in counseling with married couples, sometimes, you know, if they blurt back and forth all the time, you just tell them, hey, count to 10. Or, you know, some of you have to count to 100. You know what I mean? I've had some of them, they do have to count to 100 because they get so emotionally charged. And so we need to train ourselves. Because I really believe with all my heart, with the power of the Holy Spirit, is that we can change the way that we speak and act. I know God can do it. I know God's changed my language. God's changed the way that I act. I submitted to his rule and reign in my life. And he turned some things around in my life. I used to cuss a blue streak. You know, when I was a little kid, I thought it was funny. Everybody laughed at me until I got a whooping. Then I didn't understand. I was getting mixed messages from my parents sometimes, you know. And, you know, they laughed for a while, and then all of a sudden it wasn't funny no more. But, you know, we need to turn our conversation around, turn the things. See, our words can either build a bridge or burn a bridge. You know, nothing worse than burning a bridge, isn't there? It's hard to build that bridge back. You know, no matter how big of an engineer you are, you can't build a bridge very easy. It takes time. You know, we need to change the conversation and get the critical mass going in God's direction. I believe we can do that as Christians. Next, it says, be slow to get angry. You know, the Bible says here, anger does not achieve the righteousness of God. You know, many times we think that I got holy anger. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had that? You go around telling everybody, hey, I got holy anger. I'm mad at what God's mad at. Well, the Apostle Paul thought that too, didn't he? You know, he had holy anger. He wasn't called Paul then. He was called Saul. He had to get a name change. But, you know, he was going around, you know, persecuting the church, arresting Christians and throwing them in jail. All these things because he's helping God, doing God a favor. Then all of a sudden, God got a hold of him. At the Damascus experience, the light of God came down and showed all the darkness that was inside his life and turned him around. And see, we want to make sure that we're not doing it like Paul was and think we're doing God a favor and find out in the end that we're really, you know, doing it wrong. Because human anger cannot produce behavior that's pleasing to God. We can never please God with our anger. And uncontrolled anger can lead to uncontrolled speech. You know, usually you don't say, usually we can keep ourselves in control. But when you get mad, that's when you say things that we shouldn't have said. And it's hard to, like I said, take those back. You know, there's such a thing as that righteous anger, but it should not make us feel that we're better than the other person. If our anger makes us feel that we're right and they're wrong and that we're better than them because they're wrong, that's not righteous anger. That's the anger of man. So we need to eliminate the unholy or unhealthy behavior. You know, we need to get fed up with with unacceptable behavior in our lives. When we respond wrong and we say it wrong, we have to want to change if we're ever going to change, and that's going to happen by when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. He's the power in our life to really turn us around. You know, we get in the flesh because of our lack of trust in Christ that he's going to see us through. See, we take up the anger and the hatred and trying to defend ourselves because we really don't believe that Jesus Christ can protect us. We don't believe that we don't have our trust in him that he's going to see us through. And we need to put ourselves back in the way that we need to be. And that's by showing love to one another. I found out in my life that Sunday love is not enough. Just have love for someone on Sunday and to put on a show isn't really pleasing to God. You know, it's not enough that we do it in here, but we need to do it out there and to love like Jesus. And, you know, love is not just a feeling, but an action. And we need to think of ways that we can show love to people in our community. How do we apply this? I'm going to show some danger zones that, you know, we can be aware of that we maybe get carried away or get carried off, you know, by our own flesh. You know, some things we need to be careful of is number one is when we get misunderstood. You know, I feel I'm misunderstood all the time, especially at home. Just kidding. My wife's here today. She's not teaching. No, but I misunderstand her. I know she misunderstands me. And we've been married for, I don't know how long, 34 years. 34 years. I know how long. But we misunderstand each other. And it's frustrating when you get misunderstood. Mainly it's probably I didn't communicate properly or I wasn't listening properly. She tells me, I'm getting a little harder of hearing because of loud music, you know, back when I was a kid. You know, it really concerns me, all these kids wearing these buds in their ear. I mean, you're going to pay a price later. But, you know, I don't hear her all the time. And I miss out on a lot. You know, evidently some information I should have known, you know. So anyway, getting misunderstood. I better stop there. I'm not really digging my way out. Okay. Next is when we feel unappreciated. We all feel unappreciated. You get angry when you feel unappreciated, you know. When we feel slighted, which is similar, overlooked. Maybe when we feel left out or when we feel we've been treated unfairly. And there's a lot of that feeling today. You know, so we need to be aware of exposing ourselves to lies. You know, I just want us to see that we as Christians probably can do better. We need to trust the word more than we trust the newsman, okay? We need to not allow ourselves to get overly emotionally charged in the culture that we live in. You know, I found out in marriage and in a lot of different things, you know, if somebody gets mad at you, try not to get mad back. I found that the problem will dissipate quicker. The worst thing is for a husband and wife when they both get mad at each other at the same time. That can go for a while. But if one of them just chooses not to get mad, because really, I'm not mad. Why should I get mad? Just to make my flesh feel better? And the same way in our culture. You know, I try to not get emotionally involved with this stuff and try to see what God wants me to see. Because I want to be a trendsetter, not a trend follower. You know, I want to be able to turn our culture around to be able to see Jesus Christ glorified. Now, I do know this. If we are living in the last days, and if this stuff, I know it's going to start to perpetuate, but I do care dearly for the people I love, for the people in this church, for my family. You know, I want to see them through. I don't want them to fall victim to these things, you know, so that we can, you know, come through on the other side. Now, not everything we're going to change because God said in his word, this is the times. And if we're in those times, all we can do is let our faith grow and hold on to a good God that he's going to see us through. Let's pray.